Thank you, church family, for, as Tom was saying, your faithful, generous giving to the Lord and His work. Amen. Well, today's the third Sunday of Advent, the days leading up to Christmas, and Advent means the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event, and that notable person is Jesus Christ. The thing is that Jesus became human, died for our sins to bring salvation to all humanity. And the event is that Jesus was born in a stable, in humble beginnings. He was crucified, He died, He rose again, and is coming back to restore our relationship with God if we put our faith and our trust in Him. Part one, we looked at hope. The Word of God says that trouble produces patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope. This hope never disappoints. But when we go through tribulations, when we go through hardships, it can discourage us. But when we go through those things, we can be encouraged of our hope. But being discouraged, it could leave us with a false hope. Maybe something happened or something didn't come through in your life. Maybe we experienced trauma or hardship and we lost hope. We can't find it. And when hope that was false has failed us, and hope that was lost has disappeared in our lives, there is Jesus, our eternal hope. Jesus is our only hope. Part two, we looked at peace. Having peace with God means it continually having a relationship with God that is based on facts, not on feelings. Not peace of God or peace from God, but peace with God. Why is peace with God so important in our lives? Well, peace with God reconciles my relationship with Him. You see, we are no longer enemies of God, subject to His wrath. God stepped in. He took the first step to deal with this divide of sin between us and Him by sending Jesus to die on the cross, bridging that gap. Peace with God also restores my relationship with others. You see, the vertical relationship between us and God must be at peace before the horizontal relationship between us and others can be. Reconciliation, restoring, is the hard but good, beautiful yet messy, worth it kind of work. Peace isn't the absence of conflict, but of restored harmony. We are called not just to be peacekeepers, but peacemakers. So my question last week, who do you need to make peace with today, this week? Peace with God finally renews the relationship with my heart. Peace with God takes care of our heart's past, not holding our sins against us any longer. The peace with God also helps our hearts in the present. We can come to Him with what's on our hearts now, today. And the peace with God takes care of our heart's future. One day we will share in His glory. One day. It's accepting God's peace, extending peace to others and to yourself. And when we have peace with God, we are able to find peace with ourselves, peace with others, and peace even in life's turbulences. When Julie and I were in college at North Central University in Minneapolis, Minnesota, that's cold up there. That's cold up there. But that's when I became a Minnesota Viking fan. We went to school there. Anyway, but August of 1991, just before school started, we got married. And we were married at Northwest Assembly of God in Mount Prospect, Illinois, which is about 45 minutes or an hour from here, where Pastor Jim, right, who was on staff at the time at the church, performed the wedding. This was the church Julie grew up in as a teenager, and of course we were both in college. And my family from Utah and Texas, they came in, and Julie's family from Pennsylvania, they came as well. And it was such an amazing day, August, and it was a little warm, but it was awesome. And as we were driving to our honeymoon the next day, we had a bundle of wedding cards to open. You know what I'm talking about? So as I drove, Julie opened the cards, and one card after another of people who didn't even know us from the church where we got married were extremely generous with their gifts. We were blown away by and overwhelmed by their over-the-top kindness. They didn't know me from Adam. I mean, I didn't go to church there. They didn't know me. But they knew Pastor Jim, and they knew Julie a little bit, and because she was away. But shocking as I'm driving. It was humbling to receive gifts from people that we didn't know. I think we've all experienced receiving something undeserved. Something, you know, that we didn't feel like we deserved. Someone gave you an unexpected gift, and you didn't have one to give back. You ever been in those moments? Oh, I didn't get you something, right? It's like human nature that when we receive a gift, we want to give one back. And there's an unwritten rule. You can't find it anywhere, but there's an unwritten rule. When I receive a gift, I must go and buy you one. I must now make it even, right? And the thinking goes something like this. We're not even until I get you a gift because I don't want to appear like a greedy or a cheap person or, you know, I owe you something now. I want to make it even, right? It's awkward sometimes to receive a gift. It's like, I didn't get you anything. So at times it can be humbling to receive that. Other times, a timely gift and not necessarily something that's wrapped by, you know, like a present, but a timely gift from a close friend or a family member can do wonders for the soul. A kind word, a thoughtful text, an act of service, it speaks to the heart more than something beautifully wrapped under the tree. And as we know, the joy of giving a gift to someone we love, right? To see them smile or giggle or get excited and their face lights up when they open that present that you got them. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. I think we get that. But we've all felt that overwhelming feeling of the kindness and abundance of someone blessing us, maybe even a stranger, and it kind of takes us back a little. That place of over-the-top compassion and care that causes us to pause and to be amazed. I've said this for the last couple of weeks, the continual challenge for us this morning is to open our hearts once more to the truth that Jesus came into our world as a baby and how that impacts our lives today in a meaningful way. The title of my message in this series of Advent is Love. Love. Christmas is so much more than the gifts under the tree and more than the pressures of shopping and decorating the house and planning the parties and preparing the food, and all of that is wonderful. But overwhelmed, we can go through the motions of another Christmas and not experience true hope and peace and God's love. We can just kind of skip through it and nothing happened. Because Advent, Jesus is coming, it really is good news. He's not a baby any longer, but it started there. And we've been looking at a passage of Scripture found in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Now, this is not the Christmas story, and I know you know it. I know you know the Christmas story in Luke and Matthew, and you could probably quote some of the verses. But this is a text that helps us understand the words of Advent. Romans chapter 5, we have been made right with God because of our faith. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our faith, Christ has brought us into that blessing of God's grace that we now enjoy. And we are happy because of the hope we have of sharing God's glory. And we also have joy with our troubles because we know that these troubles produce patience. And patience produces character. And character produces hope. And this hope will never disappoint us because God has poured out His love to fill our hearts. God gave us His love through the Holy Spirit whom God has given to us. And once again, you might be sitting there thinking to yourself, what do these verses have to do with Advent and the Christmas story? Well, you see, Paul is moving from faith to peace, to joy, to hope, to love here. And in these five verses, all four themes of Advent can be found. So I want to just kind of focus on verse 5. And this hope will never disappoint us because God has poured out His love to fill our hearts. God gave us His love through the Holy Spirit whom God has given to us. Other translations might read it this way, the love of God flooding through our hearts by the Holy Spirit. God's love has been poured out into our hearts. The love of God is shed abroad. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. God has given us a hope when disappointments fill us with shame. The proof that our hope will not disappoint us in the end is the fact of the amazing generosity of God's love for you and for me. God was generous with His love. Our hearts are filled with the love of God. The Greek word for pour, exetheo, means to pour out. The word pour, it portrays love descending on us like a downpour. It's a lavish outpouring to the point of overflowing. And the downpour of God's love is given through His Holy Spirit. An abundant measure of the love of God poured into our hearts. See, our hope isn't dependent on our love for God, but His love to us. God's love to us is really the foundation of our love for Him. If He didn't love us, there's no way that we could love Him back. We experience God's love in our hearts from a view of His grace and mercy to us through Jesus Christ, His Son. And this love that we've been talking about, this love that's on the wood over here, it's on the screen, right? It happens within our hearts. The center of the human will, right? It's not referring to the physical organ that's pumping blood throughout your veins, through your body. The Bible talks about the heart as the center of the human will. The heart is the fountain of humanity's spiritual life, the center of the personality. It controls the emotions, the will, and the intellect, which means the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom. You see, it's the Holy Spirit who pours out God's love into the hearts of believers. God's love didn't exist in the human heart until the Holy Spirit gave it. You see, all humanity is an enemy of God, and when they experience His love, the Holy Spirit pours it out into their hearts. Anything that is good in us is the effect of the Holy Spirit of God. I thought that Christmas was about Jesus, not the Holy Spirit. Well, you see, all three, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, participated in the Christmas story. Mary got pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. God sent His Son to be born in a stable. Jesus lived, died, and rose again and is coming back. Maybe you've heard or seen these words, Jesus loves you. God loves you, right? A million times throughout your life. You're watching football and you see the proverbial John 3:16, right? A sign in the end zone. But it doesn't impact you, right? It doesn't, it's just another sign. God loves me. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And we hear it and it doesn't register. But it's the role of the Holy Spirit to draw you to God. The Holy Spirit is a gift to us, and one of the jobs or responsibilities of the Holy Spirit is to fill our hearts with God's love. So through the Holy Spirit, I can experience God's love. You can experience God's love. Let that sink in for just a moment. You can experience God's love. It's not man-made. You can't conjure it up. You can't try to manufacture it. He pours it out onto your heart. I know many of you in this room have experienced God's love, and you're actively praying for loved ones and friends to also experience this life-changing love of God. Before you were saved, before you became a follower of Jesus Christ, God proved His love by sending His Son, Jesus, His only Son, to die for you. If you were the only one, He still would have sent His Son for you. Whether you love Him or not today, God made a way for you to experience real love. We've all experienced love in some way or another from another person, a parent, a spouse, a girlfriend, whatever, and we know that experience is real. 1 John 4:10, this is real love. Not that we love God, it was read earlier, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. And when you make the decision to accept God's lavish love, your sins are forgiven. The consequences of those sins will still happen, but your sins are not held against you any longer. If you kill somebody, you ask for forgiveness, you are forgiven, but you will have to pay the consequences of that crime, right? Jesus took the rap for you, even though He was innocent. So now that you're one of His kids, you can experience that love firsthand. It's not your parents handing it over. It's Jesus Himself giving it to you. When you go through tribulations, and we talked about that 2 weeks ago, when you go through tribulations and trials and hardships, you'll have God's love inside your heart given to you by the Holy Spirit to sustain you through those tough times. So through the Holy Spirit, you can experience God's love. I can't make you experience it. I can't do that for you. You have to open your heart and want that. Through the Holy Spirit, I can be filled with God's love. I can be filled with God's love. Not only can you experience His love, you can be filled with it. You see, God has poured out His love to fill your hearts. Have you ever been caught in a downpour with no cover? I know it was raining pretty good by us last night. No matter what you did, right, you were going to get soaking wet, head to toe drenched, right? How many are just like, I just give up, I'm just going to get wet? You know, you're soaked. You see, that's the image. Duane, you want to help me out? That's the image of God's love. You want to help me get that? Being poured out into our hearts. That's the image of God pouring it out. So Duane's going to help me for a second bring this out. I got to say, thank you, Duane. The kitchen ladies were not happy that I had this silver cart today. They needed this for the kitchen. All right. All right, can you see it? Okay. Now, this represents your life and mine, okay? And this represents God's love, okay? Now, this, I got to tell you, this isn't God's love. Oh, that's enough, right? Ah, oh, yeah, thank you, Lord, for that drip of love, you know, that drop. Oh, Jesus, yeah, that's great, that's good, right? That's not God's love. That's not God's love at all, right? It's not a trickle. This is God's love. It keeps pouring, it keeps going. You know what? It fills you up. But guess what? It overflows. It overflows. That's what we're talking about. God's love is poured out for you. Not just the adults in your life. Not for somebody else. For you. I think someone needs to hear that today. Maybe you feel like God doesn't love you, that you've done something or you're doing something, and God can certainly not love me. If you put your faith and trust, He will forgive your sins and pour His love into your heart to overflowing. The word poured literally means to be poured out, not a trickle, but a lavish outpouring to the point of overflowing. God's love is not rationed out by drop, but it's like a mighty, endless current. This love of God is continuous. It's flooding. It overflows and overwhelms your heart. The Apostle Paul encouraged the Corinthians in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. It says this, live a life filled with love. Following the example of Christ, He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. You see, this outpouring of God's love continues to reverberate in the followers of Jesus' day-to-day life. To live your everyday, ordinary lives filled to the brim. No, filled to overflowing with His love. It's made possible by the Holy Spirit. So you can experience God's love, and it'll transform your life. And then He fill you with His love to overflowing, where you affect others, right? And through the Holy Spirit, I am able to love others. Since God's love is poured out in your heart, you're able to live loving others. The Apostle John reminds us, the believers in 1 John, we read it again, this is real love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Here's the part I want to hear. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Since we've experienced God's love, you know, you now have the power and the ability through the Holy Spirit to extend that to others. Jesus Himself said, there's a new command I give, love one another. The greatest disease is not tuberculosis or leprosy, it is being unwanted, unloved, and uncared for. We can cure physical diseases with medicine, but the only cure for loneliness, despair, and hopelessness is love. There are many in the world who are dying for a piece of bread, but there are many more dying for a little love. Mother Teresa. You see, because you've experienced and have been filled with God's abundant, overflowing love, you are now able to love others because you have it inside. I read a story about a preacher who visited a young man in a hospital who had almost burned to death. He endured countless operations and skin grafts, as you can imagine, for months, with many doctors and specialists visiting him, right? But the thing that sustained him through those difficult months wasn't the expectations of the doctors, but the promises they gave him that he would recover. See, that was his hope. And the thing that sustained his hope was the love of his family and many friends as they stood by him. The love of God was channeled through them to him. He did recover, and today he gives glory to the Lord. You see, the love of God doesn't stop with you and me. The lavish love of God is supposed to flow through you to others. Love. Love. During the great Roman games, the emperors, to gratify the citizens of Rome, would cause sweet perfumes to be rained down upon them through the awning covering the amphitheater. Huge vessels of perfume unsealed and poured out, the drops of perfume descending on everyone to refresh them. See, that is a picture of God's love, except God's love isn't drop by drop. God's love, abundant, overflowing, overpowering, pours out over us by the Holy Spirit. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. We don't typically use the word lavish, but that's God's love for you and I. It's abundant. It's extravagant. His love is unfailing and faithful. You see, God proved his love for us by sending, by giving Jesus to us. He was born in a stable, lived, then died on a cruel cross. But even when you and I were still sinners, still in rebellion and hatred toward God, God says, I still love you. You turn your back on me, I still love you. You curse me, I still love you. And that overwhelming love pierces our hearts. We can experience God's love personally. My question this morning, have you experienced God's love? Have you accepted his love? We can also be filled with God's love. What would that look like in your life to be overflowing with God's lavish, abundant love? What would that look like as a church together, filled to overflowing with God's love? What would that look like? And we are able to love others now, right? It doesn't stop with us personally or as a church in these four walls, but it flows through us to others. Who do you need to show love to today, this week? Love. Let's pray.